being is the zodiacal light. August and September are the best months to see the zodiacal light in the east before dawn. In winter, around the end of February, the zodiacal light is easiest to see in the west after sunset. It looks kind of like an extra milky Milky Way, very hazy and diffuse, and maybe a little bluish. The zodiacal light extends like a cone, about 30 degrees up from the horizon. The way to tell it from the real dawn is by the time. If you check your watch and it's still an hour or two before the sun should rise, then you're seeing the zodiacal light. Unlike the dawn and twilight, the zodiacal light isn't an effect caused by the atmosphere. It's caused by sunlight reflecting off dust grains that move in the plane of the solar system. Because the grains spread out from the sun in a thin sheet, we see the sunlight reflected from them in a thin cone above our horizon. Stardate is written by Deborah Bird, and we produce it for the University of Texas McDonald Observatory in Austin, zip 78712. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
Hey, 3 minutes after 12 o'clock. Yow.
Yow.
Here we are on the radio station broadcasting.
Brianne's trying to ruin our program just like we ruined hers. She's doing
now, wait a minute. Now, Brianne played that national anthem piece there. Now, I don't know what kind of unpatriotic binges we were just broadcasting over the air there. I don't want to talk about it, though.
Yeah, it's all her fault. We had nothing to do with it.
Deeply hearing that.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I mean, you have people not registering for the draft, and then you have people slowing down the national anthem on the air. I'll tell you, man, it's just, you know, who knows where it's leading.
The next thing you know, there'll be dial tones.
That's right. See? You heard it right here, folks.
On The Voice.
Of Long Island, your alarmist station. We're warning you of everything that's going to happen in the future.
That's true. We're No Hype 90.1.
No Hype!
That's right.
That's right.
You only won't get it here, that's for sure.
You won't get any hype here, because we don't believe in hype. Hype is, it doesn't do anything for you. Hype is, well, I can't say that word on the air, but we don't believe in hype,
that's
and we won't
true.
Give you any hype.
No hype.
So come to 90.1 FM.
For no hype.
In stereo.
24 hours a day.
That's right.
Non-commercially.
Non-commercial, non-hype.
From WUSB.
Stony Brook.
Yeah, 90.1, no hype. Hey, get down, boys and girls. So what do we got planned
the
for the
FM
show
FM stands for no hype.
That's right.
Well, somehow. The staff can't spell anyway.
What language would that be in anyway?
That's a good one. What do they speak in New Delhi? The lower part of town.
I think they speak something like extra mayo, hold the lettuce.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's right.
Oscars.
That's right.
Hey.
Are we going to find Oscars tonight?
Maybe we'll try to find Oscars all night, kosher deli somewhere in the world. If someone wants to call us up and tell us to try a place we haven't tried it before, maybe we'll find it tonight.
That's true. We might even have something about preppies.
One thing's for sure.
When
we find Oscars all night, kosher deli, we're going to jump out the window.
That's true.
Yeah, both of us.
At the same time?
Right.
Oh, boy. You know, speaking about going out the window.
What's that?
Well, I have the microphone set up out the window.
Oh, really? You can hear all sorts of night air and that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, all you hear is the people in the library talking, so just turn the mic down because, you know, they might curse.
We don't want to hear them talking over the air.
That's true.
Well, you're Mike Juhas.
And yes, I certainly am.
That's right.
And who are you?
I'm Eric Corley.
And this is, well, the voice of Long Island, and we get to sit here for 3 hours and babble on incoherently and at times coherently.
That's right.
And tonight's program is brought to you by Stanley Fisher's Offensive Driving School, the only way
to learn to drive.
That's right.
That's correct. We have an album slide coming up at 2 o'clock that might be of interest to people.
Morton Subotnick.
It's a record called The Sky of Cloudless Sulfur and After the Butterfly. It's kind of avant-garde classical stuff, so you might want to stick around for that. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's
fun.
Features Mario Guarneri on trumpet.
On the trumpet, yes.
Yeah, so you want to watch out for that. Mm. Coming up at 2 o'clock. And we also have a special production of a play that came from another radio station.
In New York?
Yes, and we'll tell you more about that a little later on. The play is Sorry, Wrong Number. So if you like telephones and things like that, tune in. It should be a lot of fun.
Right.
And immediately following that presentation, Mike and I will be analyzing it.
in depth to find
out just how much of it was really realistic in the story. It's actually a famous story. That's in a lot of short story textbooks and things like that.
Yeah.
So how was your week, Mike?
My week was very interesting. I told you all about my lobster the other night, right?
Lobster?
Oh, yeah. I didn't tell you?
I don't think so. Oh, you have a pet lobster, is that
No,
you don't.
No,
okay.
No. I was walking along the beach on Tuesday evening. Four young ladies were having a little cookout. And I said, what you cooking? And they said, lobster. Want some?
You know, I had a lobster roll in Montauk. I don't know if that means anything to anyone, but it's the first time I ever had that.
A lobster roll?
Yeah.
Should I ask?
It's sort of like tuna fish salad on a Frankfurter bun, except it cost $4.15.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. It comes with coleslaw.
What were you doing out in Montauk? Watching
ketchup,
the sunrise
if you ask for it.
Watching the sunrise or something?
Well, it's the rain, so I guess I couldn't see the sunrise. But I saw a lot of rain, Montauk rain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that differ from Stony Brook rain?
It is, you know.
It is what? It's rain?
It is different. It definitely is. Out in the east, it's different rain. Because the rain in Stony Brook has fallen already. It doesn't rise again.
Oh, yes.
Well, it does rise again, actually.
Eventually.
But it doesn't fall in Montauk, necessarily.
Sure it does.
Eventually, I guess.
Yeah,
it falls everywhere, but probably not right away. Because
how would you like
by the
to
time
be
it gets up and comes down again, it's probably in Moscow.
How would you like to be a raindrop?
I don't know. I think it might be interesting.
Yeah.
I think it might be interesting.
It's like one way of seeing the world, and you don't even have to join the Navy.
You know, you're right about that.
Yeah.
There are lots of ways to see the world.
Yeah.
Why join the Navy?
Yeah.
You can. What else can you do? You can, well, let me think about this.
It could be a bug.
It could be a bug.
That's right.
It could be a bird. I mean, birds, hey, they go to Florida every winter.
That's true.
They're like grandparents.
Yeah.
You can, let's see, worms travel. They go underground. Who knows what they do underground? You don't know if the same worm came back up.
Yeah.
They could have a tunnel system down there, a rapid transit system, you know, of their own.
And the worm rapid transit.
You see a worm go down on Long Island, he could pop up 10 minutes later in California.
That's true. They could call it the Worm Area Rapid Transit, or WART, for sure.
Yeah, you don't know what goes on underneath the ground. Nobody does.
Yeah.
You know, they could go straight through to China or something. Actually, straight through to, I think, Nepal is on the other side.
Oh, really? Have you ever actually done that, taking a pair of calipers and just...
Well, I pierced the globe once.
Oh, you did? Is that how you did it?
$10 down the drain, but went right through the globe, and it didn't come out in China, that's for sure.
Came out in Nepal, huh?
Somewhere around there, maybe India.
Oh.
I'm not really certain about that. Speaking of India, it reminds me of Pakistan, and I just want to say for the record that the Pakistani music program today made history.
Yeah, I heard rumors that it did. Now, what exactly happened today?
Well, Pakistani music, of course, comes your way every Friday morning at 11, from 11 to 12 p.m. with hostess Tahira. And usually Pakistani music is featured, but for some reason this week, one of the songs within the Pakistani Music Hour was the Blues Brothers doing Soul Man. Now, I didn't listen to the show, but I just heard this about 17 times from people. Did you hear the Blues Brothers on the Pakistani Music Hour?
Maybe we should just dig it out and play that portion of the
show. Maybe we could have an actuality from that or something.
Right.
Later on. Sure.
Yeah.
I have no objections to that.
Yeah. It sounds like it might be even rather fun.
Yeah. So I've spent most of my week coughing, you know, and sneezing.
Yeah.
And things like that.
Some of that running around. Yeah.
It's a real bummer to have that happen in the middle of the summer.
Now, getting back to the international scene here at USB.
What's the international scene?
Now, you were going to talk about Persians last week, but you never did get around to it.
Well, you know, we have had a bit of a problem here at the radio station. There's a brand new program, okay, that is on now that features music from the country of Iran. And, well, you know how things are over there, pretty wild and crazy. The music that has been played on this program, which, let me see if I know this, I believe it is on...
Is it still on?
What day is that program on? I gotta
Wednesdays, I think.
Wednesday mornings?
Yeah, Wednesday mornings.
Okay, let's say...
There's 10, 11 o'clock, I don't really know.
I believe, yeah, it's Wednesday mornings. It's a program that features Iranian music. And
Thursday mornings.
Really good show.
Yeah, it's Thursday mornings.
Thursday mornings, okay.
That's right, because I was talking to them one time, and they mentioned that it was Thursday mornings.
From 10 to 11 or 11 to 12?
Yes.
Which one?
I don't remember.
Well, anyway.
10 to 11.
Then what's on from 11 to 12? Sorry, I won't even talk about that.
Well, Barry Reagan might know. But he doesn't.
No,
so
he doesn't know anything. Okay, so this program featured music from Iran, and well, it seems there was some controversy because the music that was being played was popular during the reign of the Shah, and therefore is ipso facto pro-Shah. So right away, the people doing the program were advised and threatened by all sorts of people who were anti-Shah not to play that kind of music. So they switched and played another kind of music, and then someone else went crazy and said, you can't do this, you can't do that.
Another faction, huh?
So, yeah, there are all kinds of crazy factions coming at this group of people that just want to play some music. It seems you can't play any kind of music from Iran without offending somebody and having somebody come after you. So I don't really know where the program stands now. From what I hear, it's going on.
Well, good.
I'm glad it is, and they've certainly got all our support. But it just makes you think when something like that happens, you know, right here you broadcast music and you know, people are asking for your address and your phone number and all that. You know, people came up to the radio station trying to find out all that information.
Of those people?
Yeah.
And, well, of course, we never give things like that out.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Not
totally unless the price is right. Oh, no.
No. So that's where that stands. And, you know, it might be a good idea if you believe in freedom of the airwaves, and I think everybody listening certainly does, to voice your opinion on this, to call up, write a letter, say something in support of the program. It's on every Thursday morning, and you don't have to be Iranian. You don't have to be Pakistani to appreciate that music from Pakistan.
Yeah, but it helps.
You don't have to be Jamaican to appreciate reggae, you know?
That's very true. Very true. I'm going to vacation in Jamaica, I think, and bring back a whole stack of records.
It's a good idea to do that.
Okay.
All kinds of places to vacation. But, you know, people a lot of times don't vacation in places that could be really interesting.
Where was the last vacation you had? Virginia.
Virginia, yeah. Uh-huh. I don't go to foreign countries all that often.
Hmm.
You know? Not that I'm allergic to them or anything, it's just that I can't really get over there. But
well, you can fly over, no?
Yeah, I can, sure.
So why don't you?
Well, they want something in return.
Let's start a fund drive, then. What you need is money, right?
Well, if you're going to start a fund drive, do it for something serious, okay?
Well,
I want to go in the space shuttle.
Okay.
I mean it.
All right.
All right, I want to be up there, I want to see the stars.
If we can get
everything, if I know where the Earth stands in relation to everything else, it might put my head at rest. I might be able to get in touch with myself and in touch with, you know, everything around me, you know,
get my mind together.
It's really important to do that, you know.
Yes, if we get a few million dollars, maybe we can send you off in space.
Well, come on, I mean, look, if this is Dave Letterman saying, come on, let's raise some money and send this dog somewhere, you know, they do it right away.
That's true, the phones would light up like Christmas trees.
Yeah, our phones are dead and they're not lighting up at all, you know.
Yeah,
what's the problem here? Well, that's cheating.
I mean, that's true, too.
You can't do that.
Calling ourselves.
You know what I was thinking of before?
No. What?
There are 4 billion people in the world.
Yeah?
Well, just sort of hit me. That's an awful lot of people.
If you had $1 from each of those persons?
Well, no, I wasn't thinking that so much, but just all these people.
1 cent?
Yeah, I don't know what made me think of it. I guess seeing everybody starting to come back to Stony Brook to begin the school year again. They're all coming back now, and they're all in their dormitories packing and unpacking and, you know, bringing furniture in and records and stereos and blasting in. You know, it's a free weekend and all that.
That's true.
But seeing all these people.
A radio-free weekend.
And a lot of new people, you know, and then you realize, you know, there are a hell of a lot more people than that.
Yeah.
You know, a real lot more.
In the world.
Just on this planet.
That's true.
4 billion people. I don't know. It's like really hitting me, and I don't know what to do. You know, how do you cope with 4 billion people? How do you conceive of 4 billion people? It might even be more than that now.
How many crickets do you expect there are?
Crickets, okay? You see a cricket, all right? And there's one little cricket right there. But that's only one cricket of millions and millions and millions of the things. How can you ever tell them apart? And they're all different, you know. Oh, yeah, they're all different.
Yeah, that's true.
Every ant is different. Right. Every bee is different. Every cockroach is different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Every termite is different. You know those little bugs that fly in your eyes when you're walking on the beach?
On the beach, yeah, they're all different too, right?
They're all different. You can't even see them. They're so small.
Yeah.
And then you got the microscopic stuff, you know, like the amoeba and then the cells and all that kind of thing.
That's true too.
They're all different.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh boy, then it gets bigger, you know. Clouds, every cloud is different.
All the
sky.
All elephants are different.
All the planets and stars and suns and
all locomotives
asteroids
are different.
Comets. Ah, it just drove me crazy. And then I started thinking about music. And about all the records that are out. And about all the artists and all the album titles and things like that.
Hey, guess what?
It started driving me crazy again because there's so much, you know.
Speaking about so much,
what?
We just got $500 pledged.
We did?
Yeah.
Wow.
A big fan of yours has called up and pledged $500.
Now, where can that get me?
It can probably get you about 3 miles up on the space shuttle.
Well, that'd be good, you know.
Actually,
how high does an airplane go?
With the way you spend money, it'll probably take you down to Florida to get on the space shuttle.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't get on the space shuttle on Long Island.
That's true.
Unless maybe you... Well, rendezvous somewhere.
Unless you got a couple of more $1 million up to have it make a special stop just for you here in Stony Brook.
When do you think the first passenger service will begin to outer space?
I don't know.
I've always wanted to know.
I just don't know that. And the question I'm wondering is, when they fly over Stony Brook, will they honk?
I don't know. I hope they do. I mean, how can you miss Stony Brook when you pass over it?
Yeah.
All I know is Arthur Clarke wants more, the writer of 2001, all that kind of stuff, Childhood's End, wants more than anything to go into space, you know? He wants to, remember an exact quote was, I fully intend to go to the moon when the shuttle service starts, and I hope but hardly expect to go to Mars, ..
Uh-huh.
And this was written well over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he was that optimistic about it then. But, of course, a lot of stuff has happened since then. You know, all the programs have been cut. And, you know, things just keep getting more and more depressing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So I tell you what.
What?
Why don't we stop talking about these depressing
things? Yeah, I don't know. We seem to be so moody tonight.
If you want to pledge a few $1 million to the Send Eric Corley Into Space Fund, and, of course, it's not tax deductible.
That includes an oxygen. You know, you got to breathe up there.
Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-oh, Barry, hey, I got to break in.
I got the phones have just been lighting up in the last 10 minutes, and we're up to $2,000.
$2,000.
Now look,
we got $1,500 more.
We got $1,500 more from the last person, and we're up to $2,000. I mean, we can do it. I mean, we can do it. Just you know, we can do. I mean, you know, I've been up for 86 hours trying to raise this money for Eric, and I think we can make it. I think we're over the top.
We're
now.
Over the hump, yes.
Yeah, we're over the hump.
Well, just
I'll
give
bring
us
a tape
pledge.
Recorder with me.
246-7901. Operators are standing by, just waiting for your phone call.
That's
yeah,
right.
I'll talk to
send
people
Eric
from
Corley
up there. You know, it's not as if you'll be throwing the money away and you'll never see it again. I'll thank everybody individually from up there.
That's true.
When have you been spoken to from a space shuttle before?
That's true.
In fact, I think you can even make telephone calls in the thing.
Yeah,
right? So how about if I could call down here if I'm up there on a Friday night?
You're going to have some big phone bill. We better get another $6,000 or $7,000.
Well, No. I don't think the astronauts pay for the phone.
Oh.
I think that's written specifically. They don't have to pay for the phone.
Oh.
They might have to pay rent.
Uh-huh.
But not the phone. Not electricity either. Utilities are taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, gas stove works for by itself and everything.
And who does the dishes?
Oh, gosh. That female Soviet cosmonaut, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you want to pledge a few $1,000s to send Eric Corley up into space, please do so. 246-7901. The area code is
516.
Yeah.
And this is the voice of Long Island. We're going to be getting into all sorts of other different new exciting things.
Yeah.
So stay with us. We have right now something from Jimmy Cliff called Vietnam.
Vietnam, 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 What is your principal criticism of the way that we have conducted our war in Korea?
It's my opinion that we should fight the war to win in Korea, rather than try to settle it at the diplomatic table, which is impossible when you're dealing with Russia.
Well, Mr. Van Zandt, would you extend your will to win so far as to include the atomic bomb?
Very definitely, Dr. Peterson. I've always been a firm believer that we should use the atomic bomb, not only in Korea, but north of the Yalu River in Manchuria. I think that there are several targets in northern Korea we could use. That is, we could destroy them with the atomic bomb. We could destroy them and contaminate them.
There will soon be an end to this cold and wicked war. When those hard-headed communists get what they're looking for, only one thing that will stop them and their ferocious fun. If General MacArthur drops a atomic bomb, now over in Korea, our boys have fought and fell. But they died just like heroes amid a minute shot and shell. They had their hands tied behind them and were murdered by the sword, by those dirty-minded communists who started this sad war. They'll be fired just in the middle, flying all around, and the radioactivity will burn them to the ground. If there's any commies left, they'll be all on the run. If General MacArthur drops the atomic bomb. Atomic bomb. Communists get what they deserve. They'll be fired just in the middle. atomic bomb.
Oh, yeah. It's called When They Drop the Atomic Bomb by Jackie Dahl and his Pickled Peppers, recorded back in 1951. And leading into that, we heard from Representative James E. Van Zandt, a Republican from Pennsylvania. That was taped on May 8, 1953, about using the bomb against Korea and Manchuria and all that kind of stuff. James Van Zandt. He used to write songs at Springsteen, didn't he? Well, something like that. We heard also from Joan Armour Trading, Crying, from an EP, actually a maxi single, whatever that is, called A Weakness in Me. And we started off with Jimmy Cliff and a tune called Vietnam, all here in the Voice of Long Island. We've got a late-breaking news item coming your way very shortly, but before we get into that, we have something else. A song that was played here on The Voice a couple of times and was redone, actually, by Mike Juhas not so long ago. You may have heard the song 2 weeks ago, and it's by the Bluestein family. It's called A Horse Named Bill, and this is the Mike Juhas version of that song.
I had a horse and his name was Bill. When he ran, he couldn't stand still. He ran away, he ran away. And also I ran with him. You can sing it with me. I had a horse and his name was Bill. When he ran, he couldn't stand still. He ran away, and also I ran with him. Now my horse Bill found a grocery store. He ate some food and then he ate some more. He ate
shoes
and
waste paper baskets
and
elephants
and
spaghetti.
Now my horse Bill, he ate some more. He stayed all night in that grocery store. He ate
stars
and
clowns
and
flying saucers
and
celery.
Now my horse Bill saw a circus tent. He lifted up the flap and under he went. He saw
rice
and
the Big Dipper
and
apples
and
acrobats.
Now my horse Bill got into a race. The very next thing he was up in space. He saw
soybeans
and
carrots
and
teachers
and
asteroids.
Now my horse Bill, he was no fool. One day he went to school. He saw
the mayor
and
biscuits
and
chocolate
and
chalk.
Now, if you'd like to sing this song, open your mouth and sing along. Sing high, sing low, sing squeaky, sing together.
I had a horse and his name was Bill. When he ran, he couldn't stand still. He ran away, and also I ran with him.
Yeah. A Horse Named Bill.
That's right.
Your version, Mike.
That was fun. I worked on that last Saturday night.
It's a fun song to work with.
That's true.
Fun song to perform, too.
Yeah.
Who else does that song?
I don't know. I really just...
I hope it's a traditional song, so I hope there are other versions of it floating around. I'd like to hear them sometime.
We should do our own version right here on The Voice.
Of Long Island. Now, I believe we have a special news report.
That's true.
I hear outside noises. So do we have somebody stationed outside by chance?
Is microphone working?
I think
hello.
Go ahead, please.
Are we on? Yeah. Okay. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Barry.
Hey, that's not Eric.
That's Mike.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was the Bluestein family, wasn't it?
Yes, it was the Bluestein family.
Did you listen to it carefully?
Carefully, yes. I even caught all your edits.
That's good. Barry, why are you outside? Where are you?
I'm outside on the grounds of the State University. You can hear the crickets around me. Let's give the crickets a few seconds, huh?
Those aren't crickets. I mean,
no,
some of them are crickets.
No, that was a jet plane that's flying
overhead. No. Some of those are not crickets. They're something else. What
cicadas.
Are they?
Cicadas.
Cicadas? Is that how they
and
say
the
it?
And spaghetti.
I thought you said cicadas.
And I thought they only
you
came out every 17
cicada,
years.
All right, before we start...
I got rid of him. I thought cicadas only came out every 17 years.
Before,
well, no, see, they rotate. There's a different group of them that comes out every year. Each cicada individually only comes out every 17 years.
Oh.
You mean they come out more than once, each one?
Yeah. They
how many
to
times
be,
do they come out?
Well, if you only came out once every 17 years, how long do you think you would live?
Yeah, but
the thing is, they're still alive.
34.
They're still
some
alive.
Some of them have been alive since before Jesus.
Now, wait a minute. Wait just a minute.
Just a doggone minute.
Now, which Jesus are you talking about, huh? The baseball player, Jesus Alou?
No. I'm talking about the real thing.
Well, no, I can't
those
believe
are the, those
that
are the Middle Eastern
bug,
cicadas.
The Middle East. Well, right. Anything goes in the Middle East. I'm
right.
Talking about here on Long Island.
Hey, Barry.
Long Island cicadas have been here since, I guess, since Chief Wyandanch, was that his name? Or Chief...
I'm talking about one individual.
Chief Wyandanch?
Yeah.
Hey, Barry, do me a favor. You don't have to yell into the microphone. Hold it a little further away.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh,
that way we can hear more of the crickets in the background by turning up the volume.
No, they're not crickets. We just went through that. They're not crickets. They're cicadas or cicadas or something like that. What
you
I'm trying to get
cicada,
across here...
And I say cicada.
What I'm trying to understand is, are you telling me that one bug is going to live for hundreds and thousands of years? Is that what you're saying?
If you call that living.
Well, regardless of what your definition of the good life is... You're telling me something like that is a... I mean, trees don't even live that long. Some rocks don't even live that long.
That's
wait,
true.
I'm sitting on a very rock right now that has obviously lived for hundreds of thousands of years, if not millions.
Not in that location, buddy.
Well...
The State University of New York at Stony Brook has not been here that long.
Well,
yeah, that's
I'll
true.
Tell you, it was the putting up, the erection, if you will, of the State University of New York at Stony Brook that has actually... put this rock in this position where it has a benign tumor which looks pretty awful.
And yeah, and it's known as Barry Reagan because
now,
you're sitting on it.
That's right.
Before you start with this late-breaking news item, I just want to appeal, turn him down, appeal to our listeners one more time because they always come up with knowledge when we need it.
And great sums of cash.
Yes. What we need now is information on cicadas or cicadas or whatever they are. Tell us what you know about them, because we don't know anything about them except that they make funny noises at night. And now go ahead, Barry.
Oh.
But what about the locusts?
Well, I didn't want to bring those up, but now that you did, the locusts come up every 17 years, right? And they don't rotate.
But it's really a drag when the locusts and the cicadas come together.
Really? Why?
Well, they eat everything.
Huh.
I mean, they strip the buildings bare.
The buildings?
Yeah, locusts eat brick.
They do.
Uh-huh.
Let's hear the story, Barry.
Barry, what do you eat? Oh.
Well, anyway, I'm out here on the grounds of the State University of New York at Stony Brook. As you are probably aware, this is the first weekend in which everybody is back at school. And the school is swarming with people. And as usual, Stony Brook is about 18 months behind the times. So that most of the people that Stony Brook is swarming with are preppies. And I'm here to help you spot preppies if you see them and tell you what to do with them. Now, one way that you might notice if the people who are living in your dorms with you are indeed preppies is to, find out if they're, say, worried about their LSATs, particularly if they're freshmen. That's usually a good sign that they're preppies. Secondly, you can... see how much money they have spent on clothes. They've spent more money on clothes than on tuition. That's another good sign that they're preppies. Also, spending more money on cocaine than clothes is even further confirmation. Now, I have a little quiz that I'm going to ask you, and you can answer the questions in this quiz. And if give yourself 5 points for each one of these names that you recognize. After we're done with the quiz, we'll go over the scoring. Reggae music, unemployment, Uncle Floyd, the message. Che Guevara. Steelworkers. Rocky and Bullwinkle. Flipper. Armed struggle. And genocide. Okay, those 10 phrases and words, if you recognized any of them, give yourself 5 points for each one that you recognized. If your score was between 40 and 50, well, you don't have much to worry about. You don't show any signs of what the specialists are referring to as pre-preppy syndrome. If your score was between 25 and 40, you're a borderline case. And if you scored less than 25 points, well, you've probably got pre-preppy syndrome. But don't despair, because WUSB has set up the Preppy Hotline. 246-3646. That's right. If you call 246-3646, we can put you back on the road to recovery. Well, Eric, that's the report.
Well, Barry, now you've raised a couple of interesting questions with this report of yours. Now, I certainly was not aware that preppies are on the campus here at Stony Brook.
Oh, they're everywhere.
Everywhere, you say. Now, you say most people on Stony Brook are preppies. Now, that's quite a statement, Barry. Now, are you prepared to back that up?
Well, except for the ones that are crickets.
Well, now, I'm talking about the incoming freshmen, okay, the returning juniors, the graduating seniors, and the flipped-out sophomores that we've got here.
Not to speak of the pre-med students.
No, let's not speak of them, and let's do it intentionally, okay? No.
Well, everybody at Stony Brook is a pre-med student.
Well, that's true, but let's not get into that. That's something else. Now,
hey, you haven't seen my notebook, have you?
How many designer jeans have you seen, say, in the last hour?
In the past hour?
Yeah.
Well, I have not been keeping an accurate count. Actually, the designer jeans is not the key to a preppy these days.
Well, could you just give me an idea of how I can recognize one walking by me in the street, say?
With women, it's the matching fingernail polish and eye makeup.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And with men, it's white pants.
White pants?
Yes.
Okay.
White pants and either powder blue or pink shirts.
Pink shirts. Okay, and then you got the alligators, too, right?
Well, the alligators and, you know, the foxes and all of those things are preppy signs.
You know, is it just any animal? I mean, is there some animal thing on the shirt? Or, you know, if you have a raccoon there, does that make you a preppy? Or insects, do they count?
Well, the alligators are the status symbol.
Wait a minute, what about a frog? I have one that has a frog on it.
You would?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I do. I'll wear it next week. I'll show you.
Yeah, I'm sure all our fans out there will be glad to hear about that, Mike.
That's really interesting.
I think that you're a borderline, Mike.
Well, no, without...
Oh, no, it can't be, because I have a beard. Now, preppies don't have beards.
Yeah,
is that true,
Barry? That matching nail polish and eye makeup gives you away.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
Preppies don't have beards. Can that be confirmed?
Well, Mike's beard, I don't know if
people... Of course,
preppies. People out there who are listening probably have not met Mike except for those four young ladies who invited him to a lobster dinner on the beach. But they will.
Yeah,
testify.
But if they knew who he was, they wouldn't. You know, they wouldn't have invited him.
Shut up, you!
I'm sorry, I'm just stating a fact.
True. That's probably true. But Michael has a rather bushy beard, and preppies can have beards.
They
Some
can.
They can. Yes.
Well, now they have to be really close cropped.
That's
though.
Right.
Just,
that's
yeah,
right.
If I might butt in, like you know, kind of a half a beard. You know what I mean?
Right.
Sort of like where you see the face through the beard, and it's like they're trying to grow one
but
status. But if they really grow one, then they don't become preppies anymore.
Well, but you see, there's something not quite right with that definition, Eric. Because by that definition, Yasser Arafat is a preppy.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right about that. Oh, what's that?
That was a big yellow truck.
A big yellow truck?
Yeah. He's paving paradise to put up a parking lot.
Now, I've heard a lot of allegations. Now, these might not be true, but
those
I have...
Those are different than alligators, aren't
they?
No,
listen to me. I've had a... You know, I've heard from the...
Do you have an allegation on your shirt?
Well, like, I can't say anything serious around here, can I?
No.
All right, now...
Sure, go ahead.
There have been accusations being flung all around that a good part of this faculty, the faculty here at Stony Brook is turning preppy.
There's allegations.
Is it possible for faculty to be preppies? I've heard faculty, staff, professors, janitorial staff, everything. Can it go to administration? I mean, can you imagine administrative preppies?
Administrators tend to be post-preppies.
Post-preppies, right. Post-preppies. I can see that.
Janitorial staff is automatically precluded from preppy status.
All right, yeah, that... Right. That's, yeah. That, you know, that's
wait a minute. What if you're a janitorial supervisor?
Well, they, even janitorial supervisors, they tend to have mustaches and long sideburns.
Well, I know that there are many of them anyway.
Not the older ones. Huh?
Well, also pot bellies. Hey, there's some preppies making noise out there.
Are they definitely preppies?
Oh, yeah. Jordache sweatshirts.
Oh, boy. Now, Barry, you've been on this campus for a while. You tell
Please,
me this,
don't
this,
remind me.
This just happened now?
No, it's been happening gradually over the last 6 or 8 months. Like I say, Stony Brook tends to average 18 to 24 months behind the national trends.
Uh-huh.
So
except when it comes to black buttons.
Black buttons.
Don't have to talk about black buttons on the radio.
Were black buttons a national trend?
We are ahead there.
I saw Timothy Leary wearing one. I assumed it was an interstellar trend.
Could be.
Could be.
Well, I'm kind of concerned about this. I'm sure the listeners are. What can one do if approached by a preppy?
Well, I was going to get into that next week.
Okay.
Next week? You mean we're going to have you up on the show again?
Oh, Mike, this is a serious thing here.
Anonymous and Overeaters Anonymous and Weight Watchers and all those groups where people who suffer from a common problem get together and give each other support as they try to overcome it. And, you know, the group that we're putting together will help you get rid of your designer jeans and your polo shirts.
Will you serve coffee and donuts and things like that?
We will serve coffee because coffee is definitely a non-preppy drink, but no donuts,
okay,
sugar.
Preppy food, all right. Now, let's just do a brief summary of preppy food so I know.
Well, anything that comes with coleslaw is not really preppy food.
Okay.
Even if it's lobster?
Lobster roll is not preppy food. Real lobster, Mike, if you've ever had it, is not served with coleslaw.
Yeah.
So real lobster.
I didn't say I had a lobster roll. That's different.
Right.
Now,
Chinese food is not preppy food.
I went to a barbecue yesterday, and they had just run out of coleslaw. Do you suspect that preppy might have done that?
No, if they had run out of coleslaw, it was because there were no preppies there. If you serve coleslaw at a preppy gathering, you'll always have some left over.
Oh, I see. Coleslaw is not... Preppies don't like coleslaw.
Right. Preppies
I don't like coleslaw
their
either,
nose
though.
Up at coleslaw. Well, that's a couple of points for you, Eric.
Oh, yeah. No. I never did. Since fourth grade, I've hated... I mean, you can't be a fourth grade preppy.
Well,
that's,
when you were
really
a fourth...
being a pre-preppy, though, or a pre-pre-preppy.
Well, prepubescent preppies are all the rage now in grade school. There are definitely... There are designer jeans and Adidas sneakers for, five-year-olds.
Yeah, well, there are Adidas sneakers for dogs, too, I think.
That's right.
Anything's possible.
Right front, left front,
all
right, rear, and left rear.
I'm glad you alerted us to this. And once more, the number is 246-3646, 24-hour hotline,
right.
Preppy
and,
alert.
And preppies also ride on Fujis.
Oh.
Fuji 12-speed bicycles.
Is it okay to say that on the air?
No.
I don't think so. Don't say that on the air.
They ride on those real expensive 12-speed bicycles.
If you want to talk to a voice, though, our phone number is 246-7901, and, you know... If you need personal counseling, because I think you'll just
get a
recording at the other number. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. It's 246-3646, the Preppy Hotline. And Barry,
yes, Mike.
You were showing us before when we were doing a mic check on how you shave.
Right. Well, I shaved one side with Edge, and one side with the leading foam.
Oh my God!
Now 40 minutes later,
it's whistling.
Right. First, well, I guess that's the feedback from my speaker.
Yeah.
But we'll do that again. The first side is the foam side, and now the edge side. Pretty remarkable, huh?
There's something wrong with your face.
Can we do that on the air too?
No.
Oh. Okay. Well. Okay. I guess we better not do that.
Why don't we get into something else?
Yeah. Well, Barry, why don't you shut up for a second?
Well, look, there's a preppy going by that I'd like to get into. Hey, I'm going to see you guys later. Okay.
Bye. I want to hear the crickets. Oh, listen to that.
Yeah.
What in the world? Now, Mike, what do you call that one?
I'm not too sure.
You see, there's just so many bugs, you know? It's like so grody, you know?
Gag me with a spoon, man.
All right. That was Barry Reagan outside.
Let's just say goodbye to Barry. Goodbye, Barry.
Bye, Barry. Well, Mike, that was certainly enlightening.
It certainly was.
Well, people call it the hotline, call us up, and all that kind of stuff.
246-3646
is the hotline. 246-7901 is us.
That's the cold line.
Area code 516 goes for both.
Right.
Now, you did your horse named Bill.
Right.
Okay? And, all right. I've got a song here that I've been playing around with. And I think you know what song it is.
Yes, I do. Let's get into it.
Well, I want to just explain a little bit about it first. It's by Mr. Yellow Man. He really is a yellow man, you know. He's an albino. And
yeah.
He did a song called Yellow Man Getting Married.
And he wears yellow glasses to boot.
Yeah. And then there's a song called Yellow Man Getting Divorced. Okay. They both have the exact same music, so what I'm going to do is just play a little bit from each one so that we won't go crazy with it. Just like the opening lines or something.
Okay.
And then I'll come back and do something even more exciting. So here is Mr. Yellow Man with the first selection, Yellow Man Getting Married.
Do you take this man for your lawful husband?
Yes, I do.
And do you take this lady for your lawful wife?
Yes,
I do.
Okay, that's a little bit of both of them. We're going to hear now something totally different and unique on the radio, both of them at the same time. Now, you may think that because it's the same music in the background, they should stay synchronized, but unfortunately on the records, they're recorded at different speeds.
And that's right, and since we don't have pitch controls, we can't correct for it.
That's right, so you're going to hear it waver a little bit and then come back and that kind of stuff, but it's fun, so, you know, keep with the spirit. Or turn to another station, you know? Hey.
But right now, yes, you're with WUSB.
Stony Brook.
On the Voice.
Of Long Island. Now, here comes Yellow Man getting married and divorced at the same time.
I love you.
Thank you.
And as if that wasn't enough, there is yet another song with the exact same music in the background. This is Linval Thompson from an album, title track actually, from an album called Look How Me Sexy. It's the same music, except there are different words. Let's take a listen to that. About all we can do with that song.
Yeah, we'll have more coming up later, maybe.
Yeah, a lot of reggae music does that. They use the same instrumentals, different vocals. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. We can do it here at the radio station, too, and we probably will. Take one of our favorite songs and make up our own lyrics. It's 5 minutes after 1 o'clock, and you are tuned to WUSB in Stony Brook, the voice of Long Island, where we've only just begun to do all sorts of weird things.
Yeah, now, what do you have there now?
Right now, I have something. Well, there's a story behind this. There is a network of non-commercial radio stations in the making, and I'm certain you'll be hearing more about that in the future. But in preparation for this network, one radio station has been kind enough to send over a couple of its programs, a couple of radio productions, and they're really quite good. This is from WONY FM.
That's in Oneonta.
SUNY at Oneonta, yeah. WONY. And what we're going to be hearing for the next half hour is a production of the play Sorry Wrong Number. And it's an interesting story. It really is. It'll keep you listening, and, you know, it's exciting, all that kind of thing. And after the story,
we're going to rip it apart.
Well, no, Mike and I will analyze it. that's a better word for it, Mike, will analyze it and see just what, you know, what's right and what's wrong about the storyline. Not the production of it, but the actual story. So listen carefully and see what you can pick up for it. Sorry, wrong number.
And you're hearing it on The Voice
of Long Island. This is from WONY in Oneonta.
Good evening and welcome to Zenith Radio Theater. Tonight's presentation is Sorry, Wrong Number by Lucille Fletcher. The cast includes Katie Darcy as Mrs. Stevenson, Red as the operator, John Sullivan as the man, Western Union operator and information, Ken Olin as George and chief operator, and Steve McCabe as Sergeant Duffy and the hospital clerk. And now for tonight's performance.
Operator, I've been dialing Murray Hill 30093 now for the last three quarters of an hour, and the line is always busy. But I don't see how it could be busy that long. Will you try it for me, please?
I will try it for you. One moment, please.
I don't see how it could be busy all this time. It's my husband's office, and he's working late tonight. I'm all alone here in the house. My health is very poor. I've been feeling so nervous all day.
Ringing Murray Hill 30093.
Mr. Stevenson there.
Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Hello, George?
Yes, sir.
Hello? Who's this? What number am I calling, please?
I am in the office with our client. He says the coast is clear for tonight.
Yes, sir.
Where are you now?
In a phone booth.
Very well. You know the address. At 11 o'clock, the private patrolman goes around to the bar on 2nd Avenue for a beer. Be sure that all the lights downstairs are out. There should be only one light visible from the street. At 11:15, a subway train crosses the bridge. It makes a noise in case her window is open and she should scream.
Oh! Hello? What number is this, please?
Okay, I understand.
Make it quick. As little blood as possible. Our client does not wish to make her suffer long.
A knife okay, sir?
Yes, a knife will be okay. And remember to remove the rings and bracelets and the jewelry in the bureau drawer. Our client wishes it to look like a robbery.
Oh. Oh, how awful.
Your call, please.
Operator, I've just been cut off.
I'm sorry, madam. What number were you calling?
Why, it was supposed to be Murray Hill 30093, but it wasn't. Some wires must have been crossed. I was cut into the wrong number, and I've just heard the most dreadful thing. A murder. Oh, operator, you simply have to retrace that call.
I'm sorry, madam. I do not understand.
Oh, I know it was a wrong number, and I know I had no business listening, but these two men... They were cold-blooded fiends. They were going to murder somebody, some poor, innocent woman who was all alone in a house near a bridge. And we've got to stop them. We've got to.
What number were you calling, madam?
That doesn't matter. It was a wrong number, and you dialed it. We've got to find out what it was immediately.
But, madam...
Oh, why are you so stupid? Look, it was obviously a case of some little slip of the finger. I told you to try Murray Hill 30093 for me. You dialed it, but your finger slipped, and I was connected with some other number. I couldn't hear them, but I could hear them, I mean, and they couldn't hear me. Now, I simply fail to see why you couldn't make that same mistake again, on purpose. Why you couldn't try to dial Murray Hill 30093 in the same sort of careless way.
Murray Hill 30093? I will try to get it for you, madam.
Thank you.
The line is busy.
Operator! Operator!
Yes, madam?
You didn't try to get the wrong number at all. I asked you explicitly, and all you did was dial correctly. Now, I want you to trace that call. It's my civic duty. It's your civic duty to trace that call and apprehend those dangerous killers. And if you want...
I will connect you with the chief operator.
This is the chief operator.
Chief operator. I want you to trace the call. A telephone call. Immediately. I don't know where it came from or who was making it, but it's absolutely necessary that it be tracked down because it was about a murder. Yes, a terrible, cold-blooded murder of a poor, innocent woman. Tonight, at 11:15.
I see.
Can you trace the call for me? Can you track down those men?
It depends, madam.
Depends on what?
It depends on whether the call is still going on. If it's a live call, we can trace it on the equipment. If it's been disconnected, we can't.
Disconnected?
If the parties have stopped talking to each other.
Oh, but of course they must have stopped talking to each other by now. It was at least 5 minutes ago, and they don't sound like the type who would make a long call.
Well, I can try tracking it. Now, what is your name, madam?
Mrs. Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Stevenson. But listen...
And your telephone number?
Plaza 42295. But if you go on wasting all this time...
And what is your reason for wanting this call traced?
My reason? Oh... No reason. I mean, I merely felt very strongly that something ought to be done about it. These men are killers. They're dangerous. They're going to murder this woman at 11:15 tonight. I thought the police ought to know.
Have you told the police?
No. But in the meantime...
Well, Mrs. Stevenson, I seriously doubt whether we can make this check for you and trace this call just on your say-so as a private individual. We'd have to have something more official.
Oh, for heaven's sake. You mean to tell me I can't report a murder without getting tied up in all this red tape? Oh, it's perfectly idiotic. Oh, all right, I'll call the police. It's ridiculous.
Your call, please?
The police department, please.
Ringing the police department?
Police station, precinct 43. Duffy speaking.
Police department? Oh, this is Mrs. Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Smith Stevenson of 53 North Sutton Place. I'm calling up to report a murder. I mean, the murder hasn't been committed yet. I just overheard plans over the telephone, over a wrong number that the operator gave me. I've been trying to trace down the call myself, but everybody is so stupid and... And I guess that in the end, you're the only people who could really do anything.
Yes, ma'am.
It was perfectly a definite murder. I heard their plans distinctly. Two men were talking, and they were going to murder some woman at 11:15 tonight. She lived in a house near a bridge.
Yes, ma'am.
And there was a private patrolman on the street. He was going around the beer for a beer on 2nd Avenue. And there was some third man... A client who's paying to have this poor woman murdered. They were going to take her rings and her bracelets and use a knife. Well, it's unnerved me dreadfully, and I'm not well.
I see. When was this, ma'am?
About 8 minutes ago. And you can do something. You do understand.
And what is your name, ma'am?
Mrs. Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Stevenson.
And your address?
53 North Sutton Place. That's near a bridge. The Queensboro Bridge, you know. And we have a private patrolman on our street. 2nd Avenue.
And what was that number you were calling?
Murray Hill 30093. But that wasn't the number I overheard. I mean, Murray Hill 30093 is my husband's office. He's working late tonight, and I was trying to reach him to ask him to come. I'm an invalid, you know, and it's the maiden act off. I hate to be alone, even though he says I'll be perfectly safe as long as I have the telephone right beside my bed.
Well, we'll look into it, Mrs. Stevenson, and see if we can check it with the phone company.
But the telephone company said they couldn't check the call if the parties had stopped talking. I've already taken care of that.
Oh, yes?
Personally, I feel you ought to do something far more immediate and drastic than check the call. What good does checking the call do if they stop talking? By the time you track it down, they'll already have committed the murder.
Well, we'll take care of it, lady. Don't worry.
I say the whole thing calls for a search. A complete and thorough search of the whole city. I'm very near a bridge, and I'm not far from 2nd Avenue. And I know I'd feel a whole lot better if you sent around a radio car to this neighborhood at once.
And what makes you think the murder is going to be committed in your neighborhood, ma'am?
I don't know. Only the coincidence is so horrible. 2nd Avenue and the patrolman and the bridge.
2nd Avenue is a very long street, ma'am. And do you happen to know how many bridges there are in the city of New York alone? Not to mention Brooklyn, Staten Island, Queens, and the Bronx. How do you know there isn't some little house out on Staten Island on some little 2nd Avenue you've never heard about? How do you know they were even talking about New York at all?
But I heard the call on New York telephone dialing system.
How do you know it wasn't a long-distance call you overheard? Telephone's a funny thing. Look, lady, why don't you look at it this way? Supposing you hadn't broke in on that phone call. Supposing you'd got your husband the way you always do. Would this murder have made any difference to you then?
I suppose not. But it's so inhumane. So cold-blooded.
A lot of murders are committed in the city every day, ma'am. If we could do something to stop them, we would. But a clue of this kind that's so vague isn't much more use to us than no clue at all.
But surely...
Unless, of course, you have some reason for thinking this call is phony, and that someone may be planning to murder you.
Me? Oh, no, I hardly think so. I mean, why should anybody... I'm alone all day and night. I see nobody except my maid, Eloise. She's a big 200-pounder, and she's too lazy to bring my breakfast tray. The only other person is my husband, Albert. He's crazy about me. He adores me. He waits on me hand and foot. He scarcely left my side since I took sick 12 years ago.
Well, then, there's nothing for you to worry about. And now, if you'll just leave the rest of this to us...
What will you do? It's so late. It's nearly 11 now.
We'll take care of it, lady.
Will you broadcast it all over the city and send out squads and warn your radio cars to watch out, especially in this suspicious neighborhood like mine?
Lady, I said we'll take care of it. Just now, I've got a couple other matters here on my desk that require immediate attention. And if you'll please hang up.
No. Idiot. Now, why did I do that? Now he'll think I'm a fool. Why doesn't Albert come home? Why doesn't he?
Your call, please.
Operator, for heaven's sake, will you ring that Murray Hill 30093 number again? I can't think what's keeping him so long.
I will try it for you, madam. The line is busy.
I can hear it. You don't have to tell me. I know it's busy. If I could only get out of this bed for a little while. If I could get a breath of fresh air or just lean out the window and see the street. Hello, Albert? Hello? 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 Oh, what's the matter with this phone? Hello? Hello? Oh. For heaven's sake.
Your call, please?
Hello, operator. I don't know what's the matter with this telephone tonight, but it's positively driving me crazy. I've never seen such inefficient, miserable service. Now, I am an invalid, and I am very nervous, and I'm not supposed to be annoyed. And if this keeps on much longer...
That seems to be the trouble, madam.
Everything's wrong. The whole world could be murdered for all you people care. And now my phone keeps ringing.
Yes, madam?
Ringing and ringing and ringing every 5 seconds or so. And when I pick it up, there's no one there.
I'm sorry, madam. I'll test it for you.
I don't want you to test it for me. I want you to put that call through. Whatever it is, I'll at once.
I'm afraid that is not possible, madam.
Not possible? And why, may I ask?
The system is automatic, madam. If someone is trying to dial your number, there's no way to check whether the call is coming through the system or not, unless the person who is trying to reach you complains to his particular operator.
Oh, all the stupid and... I mean, well, I've got to sit here in my bed every time that phone rings, imagining everything.
I will try to check it for you, madam.
Check it. Check it. Is that all anybody can do? Oh, I'm going to go out of my mind with all you people. Hello? Hello? Stop ringing. Do you hear? Answer me. Who is this? Do you realize you're driving me crazy? Who's calling me? What are you doing it for? Well, stop it. Stop it, I say. Hello? Hello? If you don't stop ringing me, I'm going to call the police. Do you hear the police? Oh. Oh, Albert, will you come home? Let it ring. Let it go on ringing. It's a trick of some kind, and I won't answer it. I won't even if the sound goes ringing all night. Now, what's the matter? Why did they stop ringing all of a sudden? What time is it? Up to 11. They decided something. They're sure I'm home. They heard my voice answer them just now, and that's why they've been ringing me. That's why nobody is answering me.
Your call, please.
Give me the police department.
The line is busy.
Busy? That's impossible. The police department keeps you busy. There must be other lines available.
The line is busy. Shall I ring them for you later?
No! No! I've got to speak to them now, or it may be too late. You've got to get someone for me.
What number do you wish to speak to, madam?
I don't know, but there must be someone to protect people besides the police department. I'm a detective agency.
You will find all detective agencies listed in the classified directory, madam.
I don't have a classified. I mean, I'm too nervous to look it up. I don't know.
I will give you information. Perhaps he will help you.
No. No. Oh, you're being spiteful, aren't you? You don't care, do you? What happens to me? I could die and you wouldn't care.
This is Western Union. I have a telegram here from Mrs. Albert Stevenson. Is anyone there to receive the message?
Mrs. Stevenson.
The telegram is as follows. Mrs. Albert Stevenson, 53 North Sutton Place, New York, New York. Darling, terribly sorry. Tried to get you for last hour, but line busy. Leaving for Boston 11 p.m. tonight on urgent business. Back tomorrow afternoon. Keep happy, love. Signed, Albert.
No.
That is all, madam. Do you wish us to deliver a copy of the message?
No. No, thank you.
Very well, madam. Good night.
Good night. Oh, no. No, I don't believe it. He couldn't do it. Nobody else will be all alone. It's some trick. Some fiendish.
Your call, please.
Murray Hill 30093.
You may dial that number direct,
oh,
madam.
Oh, what? Oh. don't know what I'm going to do. How could you? But I can't be alone tonight. I can't. If I'm alone one more second, I'll go mad. I don't care what he says or what the expense is. I'm sick. I'm entitled.
This is information.
I want the telephone number of Henschley Hospital.
Henschley Hospital? Do you have an address, madam?
No, it's somewhere in the 70s. It's a very small, private, exclusive hospital where I had my appendix out 2 years ago. Henschley, H-E-N-C...
One moment, please.
Oh, please hurry. And please, what is the time?
I do not know, madam. You may find out the time by dialing Meridian 71212.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
The number of Henschley Hospital is Butterfield 70105, madam.
Butterfield 70105.
Henschley Hospital, good evening.
Nurse's Registry.
Who was it you wished to speak to?
I want the nurse's registry at once. I want a trained nurse. I want to hire her immediately for the night.
I see. And what is the nature of the case, madam?
Nerves. I'm very nervous. I need soothing and companionship. You see, my husband is away, and I...
Have you been recommended to us by any doctor in particular, madam?
No. But I really don't see why all this catechizing is necessary. I want a trained nurse. I was a patient in your hospital 2 years ago. And after all, I do expect to pay the person for attending me.
We quite understand that, madam. But these are busy times, you know. Registered nurses are very scarce just now. And our superintendent has asked us to send people out only on cases where the physician in charge feels it is absolutely necessary.
Well, it is absolutely necessary. I am a sick woman. I am very upset. Very. I'm alone in this house. And tonight I overheard a telephone conversation that upset me dreadfully. If somebody doesn't come at once... I'm afraid I'll go out of my mind.
I see. Well, I'll speak to Miss Phillips as soon as she comes in. And what is your name, madam?
Miss Phillips! What time do you expect her in?
I really don't know, madam. She went out to supper at 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock? But it's not 11 yet. Oh, my clock stopped. I thought it was running down. What time is it?
Just 15 minutes past 11.
What was that?
What was what, madam?
That click just now in my own telephone. So someone had the receiver off the hook of the extension telephone downstairs.
I didn't hear it, madam. Now about this...
But I did! There's someone in this house, someone downstairs in the kitchen. And they're listening to me now. I won't pick it up. I won't let them hear me. I'll be quiet. And they'll think. What if I don't call someone now? While they're still down there, there'll be no time.
Your call, please?
Operator, I'm in desperate trouble.
I cannot hear you, madam. Please speak louder.
I don't dare. I think there's someone listening. Can you hear me now?
No, madam.
But you've got to hear me. Oh, please. I've got to get help. There's someone in this house. Someone is trying to murder me. And you've got to get in touch. Oh, there it is. He put it down. He put down the extension phone. He's coming up. He's coming up the stairs. Give me the police department. The police.
One moment, please.
Ah!
Precinct 43. Police Station, Precinct 43. Duffy speaking. Police Department, Sergeant Duffy speaking.
Sorry, wrong number.
Thank you for listening to Zenith Radio Theater. Tonight is the last Zenith of this season, and at this time I'd like to thank all the people who made it possible. Thank you for coming. I came too. Tonight's presentation was produced and directed by John Gura. Thanks to Jackie Sincana for her printing press, and special thanks to Stephen McCabe for sound effects. For the Zenith Radio Theater, good night. Especially you, Puss in Boots.
Good night.
Well, that was that.
Yeah. Where did we get that from?
From Oneonta, New York. I believe it was
W-O-N-Y.
W-O-N-Y.
From SUNY Oneonta.
I like that cat at the end.
Puss in Boots.
Yeah. Did I hear people crying when I heard it was the last Zenith Theater for the season?
It could have been.
So that was a program up there on that radio station, and, it's just the beginning of... what we hope will be a large non-commercial radio network.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll hear a lot more on that in the future, though.
Yeah.
Now, what did you think of the story, Mike? Did you ever hear that story before?
No, I never have.
Well, I've read it a couple of times, and I didn't see the film. There was a film with that, too.
Really?
But, yeah, it's
repeated
on TV every now and then, late night Saturdays or something.
Must have been a pretty short film.
No, actually, they stretched it out to a good hour and a half, 2 hours. I don't know how they did it.
Huh.
Must have gone into the background of everybody. But what did you think of the things that happened with the phones and the police?
How could the police not answer the phone for quite a while, and how could the police be busy?
That's a good one, the police being busy.
Yeah.
Although I have, on occasion, not too long ago, within the past few months, tried calling an operator and have gotten all sorts of error messages and busy signals and things like that. Occasionally, the whole system just fouls up, so I wouldn't say it's beyond the realm of possibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can call 911 and just get disconnected.
Hmm.
You know, anything's possible. Most of the time it works, but occasionally you get something, and, you know, sometimes it happens when you need them the most.
Occasionally everything gets bollocksed up. There's
a couple
other interesting things that didn't seem to make much sense either.
What was that?
I don't recall right now. Do you?
Let me think.
I should have taken notes.
Yeah.
So we'll have to listen to it all over again.
I guess we'll have to.
Yeah.
That train went by pretty fast.
Yeah?
And, yeah, that's another
but now
thing. I don't know if this is in the story, but, you heard her say she lived near the Queensboro Bridge.
Right.
There's no train that goes over the Queensboro Bridge.
Well...
No subway. Maybe there was back then when the story was written. If anybody knows that...
I think there were some trolleys that actually used to go
over
the Queensboro Bridge.
Yeah, but they said train.
Subway.
Yeah, that's what I assume they meant. Now, I know subways go over the Manhattan Bridge and the Brooklyn Bridge. I know the J train goes over and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
I don't think a train ever went over the Queensboro Bridge. Now, there are these little sections on each side, and I think you're right. Those were for trolleys, but not for subways.
Well, you know, it's just a simple mistake, you know.
Well, no, that's something I believe that was in the story, so there must be some element of fact to that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another thing that kind of bugged me about the story, this has nothing to do with the production, but the story itself, was the attitude of everybody. Everybody had the exact same attitude toward this person. The information operator, the regular operator, the police,
the chief operator,
everybody treated her the exact same way. Nobody treated her any different except for the person who killed her. He took it one step further.
Yeah.
But everybody else...
Well, you're forgetting, I guess, that it is New York.
New York, yeah, but you can say all you want about New York, but, you know, there's a lot of different people. Well, first of all, if it was New York, I doubt very much if they would have gotten the same operator all those times.
Well, how long ago was that? They could have had one operator for a certain group of small numbers or something.
Well, you see, I'm not sure when it was written. It was written a while back, but I don't know how long ago.
Yeah.
And it must have been one of the first stories about, you know, telephones and things like that.
Yeah.
You know what I like about phone numbers back then? The way that each exchange has a name.
I know. Yeah, right. Exactly. Now, what would 246
be? I was just thinking. 246, well, you have A, B, and C for the 2, and G, H, and I for the 4. So it could be A, H.
It could be B, I.
B, I.
Or C, I.
Or C, H. Or...
Charming. Charming 6.
Yeah. Charming 6. That's a good one.
Right, we should...
Or bilateral 6.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
I would say, why not spell something from our phone number, but we can't.
Why not?
Because O and 1 don't have letters.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah. Well, call us up at Charming 6, 7901.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Area code 51M.
6. 51M.
Sorry, at 6, yeah. Yeah. Okay, we will have the tripods coming up very shortly, I guess.
Yeah. And well, let's see, what do we have here? Something from Bob James.
Bob James, hey.
Yeah, he's got a new album called Hands Down, and here's one of the songs from it.
Then the tripods, I can hardly wait.
On the Voice
of Long Island.
Thank you. WUSB is the island, and the island is commercial free. Keep your dial glued to 90.1 FM, commercial free, all year long.
Say, we normally don't give you all this hype stuff on USB, but do tune in. You might like it. WUSB, Stony Brook.
Radio Free Long Island, in proud humiliation with the Brentwood Disposable Tire Iron Facility, proudly presents another episode of The Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. This week we go back to Stony Haven, where we see Kathy, Howard, Charlie, and Aunt Angela. And Aunt Angela is just leaving.
Well, it certainly was nice of you to drop by and visit with us, Aunt Angela. And I hope that laryngitis goes away real soon.
Yeah, I really got a kick out of meeting you. I wonder if the real tripods had an Aunt Angela.
Quiet, Charlie. Now, have a nice trip.
Don't forget to say hi to all the relatives over in Blue Ball, Pennsylvania for us.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. Now, didn't I tell you, Kathy?
Tell me what?
I told you that Aunt Angela wouldn't cause any problems while she was here. And I was right.
Well, what did you expect, Howard? She couldn't say a single word. How can you cause trouble if you can't talk?
That's not so hard to do if you set your mind to it. Come on, Kathy, you have to admit it. You really like my Aunt Angela, don't you?
No, don't go jumping to any conclusions now, Howard.
You must have asked her to visit us again 20 times at the door just now.
I was just being polite.
You sounded pretty sincere to me.
Well, if I did, it was only because I thought we owed her something, you know, with the way Charlie was talking to everybody, and that brown lemonade.
I'm glad you brought that up, Kathy.
Oh, it's supposed to be brown. It's all natural.
No, not that. I'm glad you brought up Charlie. We've got to get to the bottom of this. Where did he go?
He's over there on the sofa, reading Newsday.
Well, the time is now. But let's find out what all this nonsense is about the 21st century and all that.
Charlie, can we have a word with you?
You know, I'm still astounded by the great act you people have been putting on. Look at this. You even reproduced Andy Capp. And Ann Landers, too. I really would like to know how you did it.
Charlie, we have to talk to you.
Yeah, and fast before it's too late.
Come on, now, put the paper down.
Okay, what do you want to talk about?
Well, it's just... Well, I think Howard, maybe you better start this off. The words are getting stuck in my teeth.
All right. Well, Charlie, basically, since you've come back from the hospital, you've been acting sort of strange.
Yeah.
In fact, neither Kathy nor myself have been able to understand a single thing you've been saying.
Not a thing. And you know how open-minded we are, Charlie.
I know. We're all supposed to pretend we don't know anything about what's really going on. It's all part of the game. That's what they told me.
Charlie, we don't know what's really going on.
Well, we know what's going on. I think maybe you're having a little trouble facing the real world, Charlie.
Wait a minute, Howard. Just wait a minute. Now, Charlie, why don't you explain to us just what you think is really going on?
Yeah, but don't take too long. Dark Shadows is going to be on in a few minutes.
Howard, it can wait. This is real life.
Well, that's real life too, Kathy. And besides that, it's educational. All right, now let's talk about this.
Okay, now, Charlie, just tell us what you believe is happening right now.
Well, okay, but I'm breaking the rules.
Well, go ahead.
Well, even though this looks like the 20th century, it's actually the 21st century. More than 100 years into the future. And everybody who's alive today is playing this game that's become really popular all of a sudden.
Well, what game is that?
I don't know what it's called. But in order to play the game, you have to imitate somebody who lived in the 20th century. You people are imitating the tripods. And I must say, you're doing a slam-bang job.
You mean, you think we're imposters?
Charlie, you think we're not really the tripods, but just a couple of people from the 21st century? I can't believe it. Who sold you that story, Solomon the Plumber? Or was it Uncle Jonathan?
Now, you keep my Uncle Jonathan out of this, Howard. After the nice way I treated your aunt...
I don't know why you're getting so upset about this. I'm just telling the truth. You know it as well as I do. I guess you 21st century people have trouble dealing with reality.
Charlie, this is reality. This really is the 20th century.
You have to believe that.
What makes you think it's not?
They told me it wasn't.
Who's they?
The people at the hospital. I woke up and they told me I had a bad accident over 100 years ago. And I was in suspended animation while they were trying to repair me.
Good heavens!
Why would anybody want you to believe a crazy story like that?
Now, hold on, Howard. Do you think this might have something to do with the Amalgamated Hospital?
You might have something there, Kathy. Let me think. Charlie, did you pay those people anything?
Yes. Was there a charge for having them keep you in suspension?
Well, as a matter of fact, they did want something for having kept me alive for so long. At first, I wasn't so sure if I should pay it, but when they told me about the marvelous world that was waiting for me, I wrote them a check gladly.
Uh-oh.
Charlie, I've got a question for you. If this was the 21st century, and everybody was imitating people who lived in the 20th century, then where are you?
That's right. Charlie, if your theory held up, then there'd be somebody living in your house right now pretending to be you. And I haven't seen anybody else around here who looks like you.
Well, I guess I didn't think about that.
That was a good point, Howard.
Thank you. And here's something else. Charlie, I'd like to know exactly how much you paid those people at the hospital who told you this crazy story.
Yeah, do you have a receipt or a check stub or something, Charlie?
Yeah, I remember writing the amount on the stub when I wrote the check. It's in this pocket somewhere. Ah, there it is. Here.
Well, what do you see, Howard?
Charlie, this is the exact same amount that you sued the Amalgamated Hospital for. To the penny.
And so Charlie begins to see for the first time that he's been conned by the Amalgamated Hospital of Huntington. You want to be with us next time when we'll hear Charlie say,
"You know, I feel kind of dumb."
That's next time on The Exciting Adventures of the Tripod Family, a co-presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Brentwood Disposable Tire Iron Facility. Until then, this is Don Topeka.
That must be a clue that it's time for news. Test, test. Oh. Oh, hi. Hi, what we're listening to is something from the Third Plane album from Ron Carter, Herbie Hancock, and Tony Williams. And
yes.
It's a song called Quiet Times. It's relatively new on the Milestone label.
Certainly is.
Although it was recorded in July of 1977. We only got it here a couple of months ago.
Well, the mail's been slow.
Yeah. Well, it is 1:59. Time now for the 1:55 news. It's 19 degrees Celsius in Stony Brook. That's 66 on the Fahrenheit scale.
And here is the news. Friends took books to Benjamin Sassway in federal prison Friday while his lawyers sought to have him freed, pending sentencing for defying the Selective Service. The 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco agreed to hear the emergency motion for release on bail, pending sentencing on October 4th. Judge Gordon Thompson, Jr., who ordered Sassway held without bail immediately after he was convicted Thursday for refusing to register for the military draft, was to justify his action to the higher court Monday. Sassway was the first man in the nation since the Vietnam War to be indicted for refusing to register for the military draft and the second brought to trial. Kathy Gilbert, one of the volunteers supporting Sassway, said she took the 21-year-old Humboldt State University student at his request books on nuclear policy and philosophy and essays by Henry David Thoreau. She described Sassway as in good spirits. The first television crew and the first newspaper reporters to show up Friday morning at the Metropolitan Correctional Center were allowed to interview Sassway. Further interview requests were denied by the warden. I'm not bitter because I believe I've kept my commitment to my conscience in refusing to register, even if it means prison. I'm sure the judge and jury did what they thought they had to do, and I did what I had to do, Sassway told the San Diego Tribune. Anti-draft and peace demonstrators planned a candlelight march in support of Sassway outside the high-rise prison on Sunday night. And Enton Eller, 20, a conscientious objector, has also been convicted in Roanoke, Virginia, on the single felony count of non-registration. The judge has ordered him to register within 90 days or face the maximum sentence of 5 years in prison and a $10,000 fine.
President Reagan says he's sending Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger to Lebanon to visit U.S. Marines stationed in Beirut as a part of a multinational peacekeeping force. Weinberger is to travel to Lebanon Tuesday before going on to Egypt and Israel for meetings with top leaders. Israeli Defense Minister Ariel Sharon met with Weinberger and Secretary of State George Shultz Friday, and Sharon declared that Israel will never agree to the creation of a separate Palestinian state in the occupied West Bank and Gaza Strip. President Reagan is to make another one of his radio addresses Saturday, and he's expected to announce his veto of a $14.2 billion supplemental appropriations bill. Oregon Senator Mark Hatfield, who, along with other GOP leaders, has backed the bill, says the president told by telephone that he's vetoed the measure. The lawyers for a company blacklisted by President Reagan say they want the Commerce Department to drop sanctions against the firm. Attorneys for Dresser France, a subsidiary of Dresser Industries of Dallas, asked the Commerce Department Friday to lift restrictions on U.S. imports to the company. Dresser France says the president's ban on all exports to the company is unconstitutional and illegal. Reagan imposed sanctions on Dresser France and another French company this week because of their participation in the Soviet natural gas Pipolini pipeline project. Official sources in El Salvador said Friday that 15 guerrillas and 7 government soldiers died in fighting this week. The defense ministry says the rebels were killed in a government raid on a guerrilla bomb factory while these soldiers died in rebel attacks. The State Department said Friday that considerable progress is being made in transforming Southwest Africa, the continent's last colony, into the independent Republic of Namibia. But the foreign minister of Angola disagreed and claimed the U.S. and South Africa are to blame for delays in reaching a negotiated settlement. California, which has some of the nation's worst air pollution, soon may have a law in the books requiring regular vehicle inspections for possible pollution violations. After a fierce 4-year battle, the California legislature sent Governor Jerry Brown a bill Friday requiring smog-related equipment on cars and light trucks to be checked every 2 years. 3 days after voters went to the polls in Alaska, the Democratic gubernatorial primary race remains undecided. An Anchorage hotel owner, Bill Sheffield, is running about 600 votes ahead of former Fairbanks legislator Steve Cowper. But officials say former Fairbanks legislator Steve, but officials say 11,000 or more absentee and question ballots still have to be counted. The final count is expected by Wednesday.
USB Long Island weather. Currently 16 degrees Celsius, 66 Fahrenheit. Partly cloudy and cool overnight.
Is the
low 55 to 60 with winds becoming northwest 10 to 15 miles per hour. Sunny, breezy, and cool tomorrow with highs 70 to 75 with northwest. Winds 10 to 15. Miles per hour clear and very cool tomorrow. Night low around 50 continued. Sunny and cool. Sunday high. 70 to 75 there are. No warnings or Advisories in effect. For long, island warders. And that is the news. Thank you. Thank you. I'm done.
You are absolutely completely done?
Yes, I'm finished now.
Okay. Why don't you answer the phone while I'm saying... you lost it now.
Oops, they hung up.
They all hung up. Call up our preppy hotline on 246-3646.
Yes, there's been a rash of preppies on campus, we understand. Now, if you have seen a preppy, or if you think you might be a preppy, or some thing like that, give our hotline a call. It's there for you, and it'll be manned around the clock. Call it right now, please. It'll do yourself some good.
246-3646.
Once again,
246-3646.
3646.
Yes.
Let's say it right so that people can understand it.
246-3646.
Okay. 516 area code. Our telephone number at the radio station is a different number. 246-7901.
Right.
516 area again.
Right. Now, it's 208.
And here comes...
the album side on WUSB.
Here it is. Okay, what is the album side we have today?
On what station is this, WUSB?
Oh, Stony Brook.
Right. Morton Subotnick.
Morton Subotnick. Is there any information about who Morton Subotnick is?
Well, this record is a medium which would be approached by... let's see now. What does he say here? After the Butterflies, what we're going to hear is a concerto-like work for trumpet, instrumental ensemble, and ghost electronics.
Whoops.
And it was composed in Berlin during the summer and fall of 1979. It was commissioned by Mario Guarneri, who also performed the premiere in October 1979. On the Monday Evening Concert Series in Los Angeles, conducted by William Kraft. Yes. Now we're going to be hearing side two of this album, After the Butterfly.
Uh-huh.
And, what else? There's not too much here about this fellow, Morton Subotnick, although it does sound like a name you'd see in the Peanuts comic strip.
Does it say anything about Morton's years when he was infatuated by...
No, it doesn't.
Oh, really?
Yes, I figured they probably figured they needed some sort of taste.
Does it mention the rich heiress that he was known to hang around with, who very often went by the name of... Does it mention her at all?
No. Oh. It doesn't. No, it does not at all.
Well, it must mention his connection... Does it mention that? I mean, come on, everybody knows about
yes,
that.
Yes, yes, it's right here.
Well, that's good. At least
Caterpillar, it says.
Yeah?
Oh, I shouldn't have said that, huh? So anyway, Morton Subotnick on The Voice of Long Island. And once again, this program is brought to you in part through a major underwriting grant from Stanley Fisher's Offensive Driving School. It's the only way.
To learn to drive.
Yes.
So we're going to go into our album side now. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Here we go.
Thank you.
Will somebody get in here and turn this off? Okay. That was Morton Subotnick from an album entitled The Sky of Cloudless Sulfur, and After the Butterfly we heard After the Butterfly. And it's about 2:30 in the morning, and this is WUSB Stony Brook, and I'm Mike Uhas. Eric Corley's yelling in the other room. I don't know exactly what he's talking about, but I'm sure he'll be good enough to come back and join the living in a few minutes. A little bit earlier in the program today, we examined a couple of reggae tunes and how they were sounded similar to one another. And, well, we have a couple of more tunes here. We figured we were going to do the same thing, too. You know, what the heck?
Under me, she be bubble under me, eh. Under me, and you be wine under me, eh. Under me, no bother ball under me, eh. Under me, no bother wanna be the me, so. Specially pressure to the fat girl party, eh. Specially pressure to the slim girl party, eh. Specially pressure to the bone old party, eh. Specially pressure to the tall old party, eh. Specially pressure to the hump dump party, eh. Specially pressure to the down dump party. She put it up the ocean, eh. She put it up the sail up on the sea, girl. But one day, girl, you have to sail under me. One day, girl, you have to sail under me. So, under me, you be bubble under me, eh. Under me, no bother ball under me, eh. Under me, no bother ball like the TV, eh. Under me, and you be wine under me, eh. Under me, and you be broke under me, eh. Under me, no bother ball under me. Be your fishy, can never unbroke me body. Be your fishy, can unbroke me body. So, under me, and you be bubble under me, eh. Under me, no bother ball under me. The higher the mountain, the cooler the breeze. The higher the mountain, the cooler the breeze. It's tighter, it pump for me more is green. So, under me, and you be bubble under me, eh. Under me, no bother ball under me, eh. You think I saw the person getting gone, eh. You think I saw the king getting thrown. I must be comfy, mash it and go home, right. I must be comfy, mash it and go home, hey, tell him so. Under me, you be popular under me, eh. Under me, no bother wine under me, eh. Under me, no bother ball under me, so. Specially pressure to the slim girl party, eh. Specially pressure to the fat girl party, eh. Specially pressure to the bonus party, eh. Specially pressure to the calif party, eh. Specially pressure to the up-down party, eh. Specially pressure to the down-down party. Can we never come and dance and see me, girl? Can we never come and dance and see me? How is it so? Under me, and you feel bubble under me, eh. Under me, and you feel wine under me, eh. Under me, no bother ball under me, eh. Under me, no bother wanna be the me, eh. Under me, no bother wanna be the me. Just some bubble under me, you feel wine under me. The brain under me, you have feel broke under me. The ship is at the tail up on the ocean. She said the ship is at the tail up on the ocean, girl. The boat is at the tail up on the sea, but you say it's time to come, you have to sail under me, girl. Time to come, you have to sail under me. So, bubble under me, and just the wine under me, hey. Under me, no bother ball under me, hey. Under me, I know what I'm gonna pick me, hey. Under me, no bother ball like baby. Just bubble under me, and just the wine under me. Bubble under me, and just the broke under me, hey. Under me, no bother ball under me, hey. Under me, I beg your bubble under me, yeah. Bubble under me. Mr. Me love me, me virgin girl. Mr. Me love me, me virgin girl. Yeah, oh, he really love her so. Yeah, oh, he really love her so. Me love to see you in a ear full of girl. Anywhere she comes, you can love her in the world. She don't worship Simon, she don't worship her. Jan Ho, give me virgin girl. Jan Ho, give me virgin girl. Me love to see
walk and roll. Fancy your horse to match the flow. Jam-a-ho, jimmy-fur, jimmy-fur, jam-a-ho, jimmy-fur, jimmy-fur. Two-a-way-a-wa, panny, two-a-way-a-ta. She-a-way-roach, and a-me-a-way-ta. Ripa-ba-ba-ba, in a sun-shade-la. Tickle-a-ta-da-da, you gonna kiss on the top. Jam-a-ho, jimmy-fur, jimmy-fur, jam-a-ho. Anywhere she got people love her in the world. She don't worship time, but she don't worship her. Jan Ho, give me virgin girl. Jan Ho, give me virgin girl. The love you see her when she walk and roll. Fancy her old to match her own. Jan Ho, give me virgin girl. Jan Ho, give me virgin girl. Thank you, and thank you, more, more, more. Then start to laugh. She too shot and I'm too tired. Jan Ho, don't a Kingston mall. Jan Ho, don't a Kingston mall. They say me love is me virgin girl. They say me love is me virgin girl. Jan Ho, me really love her so. Jan Ho, me really love her so. Me love to see her when she won't come home. Thank you, oh, to match her toe. Jan Ho.
So make me tell you say I love what take over. So right now we walking shoulder to shoulder. So make me tell you say we full up Jamaica. Hey, me say I love what take over. So make me tell you say that love what take over. Cause when me say, them not really black and them not really both. But some of them love me muggle down and I'm close. I love what take over. So make me tell you say them full up Jamaica. Go right and know me say that love and take over. How will we do? We walking through the park, me say we don't sky love. The woman wear the roach, I saw the man wear the cloth. I love and take over. So right and know me say we full up Jamaica. I always see, we come in at the dance and we drink we liquor. A little after that we hold a pretty daughter. I'm going round the corner. So make me tell you say that murder we charge for. Hey! We say that love has take over. So right now we come in nice up the area. Hey! Now with love, with love, with love, with love, with love, with love, with love. Now with love, with love, with love, with love, with love, with love, with love. I love has take over. So right now we say we pull up the area. So right now we say we control the data. And when they walk, we walk in shoulder to shoulder. So where them do? Them not really black and them not really bold. But some of them love them muggles down and not cool. I love and take over. So right you know me say they full of Jamaica. So make me tell you say that love and take over. Man, me say we walking through the park, me say we don't sky long. The woman wear the roach and the man wear the cloth. I love and take over. So make me tell you say we control Jamaica. So not you say that with your lap on your shoulder. So make me tell you say that love and take over. Hey. We come in at the dance and we drink really calm. A little after that we hold a pretty daughter. I'm going round the corner.
So make me tell you, say the murder you charge for. So that the time you just a nice up the era. So make me tell you, with a cool entertainer. Hey, I love us take over. So not you tell me, say the love us take over. Hey, whenever time me chat you off around. Whenever time me chat you off around. So whether you are white or whether you are black, so whether ballet or an accident rock, whenever time I catch you up around, because I love what take over. So make me think you say we pull up your mouth.
I waddle them, I waddle them, them, hey. I waddle them, I waddle them, them, them. I mean no, no, oh. I mean no, no, oh, oh. I mean no, no, oh, oh, hey. I mean, no, no, oh, oh, hey. Me say me love a pretty virgin girl, hey. Me say me love a pretty virgin girl, then oh, me really love her too, then oh, hey. Me really love her too, hey. Me love to see her when she walk and pose, fancy ruffles to match her clothes, then oh, hey. A pretty virgin girl, then oh, hey. A pretty virgin girl, hey. Me love to see her when I hear full of pearl. Anywhere she got people love her in the world. She don't worship diamonds, she don't worship pearls. And oh, hey, I feel me virgin girl. And oh, hey, I feel me virgin girl. Hey, I waddle them, I waddle them, them, them. I waddle them, I waddle them, them. I mean no, no, oh, I mean no, no, oh, oh. I mean no, oh, I mean no, no, oh, oh. This is what we are walk and this is what we are talk. No, she a wear out and a me a wear glass. We are up and pass in a sunshade glass. And girl after that we gonna Kingston pop. Hey, only for people just a talk to that. Because I think too short and a me too tall. She too short and a me too tall. Hey, I waddle them, I waddle them, 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 them. I waddle them, I waddle them, them. But I mean no, no, oh, me no, no, oh, me no, no, oh, oh. Minna na oh, minna na oh, minna na oh, oh. Bing bing bang bang, bing bang bang, bing bing. Bing bing bang bang, bing bang bang, bing bing. Bang bing bing bang bang, bing bing bang bang, bing bing bang bang, bing bing. Bing bing bang bang, bing bing bang bang, bing bing bang bang. Bing bing bang bang, bing bing bang bang. Bing bing bang bang, bing bing bang bang, bing bing bang bang. Bing bing bang bang, bing bing bang bang, bing bing bang bang. Bing bing bang bang, bing bing bang bang, bing bing bang bang. Bing bing bang bang, bing. Me say me love a pretty virgin girl. Me say me love a pretty virgin girl. Then oh, hey, me really love her too. Then oh, hey, me really love her too. Me love to see her when she walk and pose. Fancy ruffles to match her clothes. Then oh, hey, I see me virgin girl. Then oh, hey, I see me virgin girl. Me love to see her when I hear full of girl. Anyway, she got people love her in the world. She don't worship diamonds, she don't worship pearls. And oh, hey, I feel me virgin girl. And oh, hey, I feel me virgin girl. Hey, I waddle them, I waddle them, them, them. I waddle them, I waddle them, them, them. Come in the no, oh, in the no, oh, in the no, oh, oh. In the no, oh, in the no, oh, in the no, oh, oh. Oh, oh.
Ding 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 ding.
been looking, many, 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 many. Me say me love a pretty virgin. Me say me love a pretty virgin. Then oh, eh, me really love her. So then oh, eh. Bang, bang, gang, 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 moody, bang, bang, bang. Bang, 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 bang,
be sure to save the first Thursday evening of each month at 6 p.m. for the Village Common, WUSB's leisure magazine of the air, hosted by Charlie Backfish and Walt Scratch.
Regular features include Speaking With, a conversation with a prominent figure in the arts or the news, On the Town, a guide to events in New York City, and University News with Al Oikel.
We'll give you a chance to win a great rock and roll nostalgia book in our new program segment, Remember Then, as well as a helpful health book in Feeling All Right, the Village Commons new health feature.
A classic comedy routine, a vintage blooper, and a recipe from an outstanding Long Island restaurant are also a part of the hour-long program.
That's the Village Common. You can hear it at 6 p.m. on the first Thursday of the month at 90.1 FM, Long Island's non-commercial alternative, WUSB Stony Brook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, The Village Common. Good song. I like that song a lot.
Yeah, it's Herbie Mann.
That's coming up. Is that this Thursday?
The first Thursday of the month.
First Thursday of the month. It's this Thursday coming up.
So, 6 o'clock Thursday evening.
The return of The Village Common.
For another leisure magazine of the air this year.
Yeah, the return of students to Stony Brook. Classes begin, I believe, this Monday.
That's pretty damn
it
good.
It all starts again.
Yeah,
this is the 15-week semester that everybody was screaming for last year.
And what were they screaming from?
Well, from a 13-week semester.
Oh, and they wanted
two more.
Which
started late and ended early, and now they're starting early in August and ending late, so I guess everybody's happy.
Well, if I was going back to school again, I don't know how happy I'd be.
It was okay.
15 weeks?
Yeah, 15. It went pretty fast, I can tell you that much, when I was in there.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this is the voice
of Long Island, and the voices are getting tired.
That's true.
It's almost 3 o'clock, and almost time for us to be going.
Yeah.
But we still have some time.
Yeah, Anthony White will be up in about 13 minutes or thereabouts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, this program is brought to you by Stanley Fisher's Offensive Driving School. It's the only way
to learn to drive.
Yeah.
I believe they're incorporated now.
Okay. In New York State or Delaware?
I think it's Taiwan.
Aha.
I'm not certain, though.
So look them up in your Taiwanese phone book.
What are we going to do now?
We're going to play something. Remember a couple of months ago we interviewed Suzanne Shiani?
Yes, we did.
That's true. And, we have one of our songs carded up. So.
Who should we interview for the new season, Mike? Before we play Suzanne Shiani, let's think of some people right now to interview that we can set out and not disappoint the listeners.
Well, you know, I don't know if we can actually say who we should interview.
Well, who would you like to interview?
I'd like to interview David Letterman.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, now, I don't know that we're going to do it, but we'll give it a shot.
We might embarrass him.
He might embarrass us.
That's true, but then again, he wouldn't be the first.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. David Letterman, that's kind of a high.
Hey, we got to keep our highs sighted, or sighted sigh, or something like that.
I'd like to interview a foreign leader.
You would?
Yes, I would.
Like, what country are you thinking of?
Swaziland. No, I'm serious.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, who is the leader of Swaziland?
Actually, I think he just died, so. Well, he was a very old monarch, but enough said about that.
So who's the new Swazi?
I don't know. I don't know if they found one yet. But I'd like to find somebody who runs one of these countries and talk to them, find out what it's like, you know. Some of these people I'll bet you can talk to one-on-one
casually, yeah.
Yeah, casually and openly.
Yeah, because the country is probably about the size of Rhodium Island or something like that.
Yeah, you know, they wouldn't mind. How busy could they be?
That's true.
You know?
It's not like they're Regan or something like that.
Right, it's different. I mean, they don't care what happens in the Mideast. They don't care what happens in Asia. And,
well, they might care. They just don't have as much riding on it.
Yeah, and, you know, they can't do anything about it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we have our sights high for this coming-up season of The Voice.
Of Long Island. USB's new season begins on Monday, September...
5.
5th.
Or is that a 6?
Is that a 5th or a 6?
I think it's a 6. It's a Sunday it starts, no?
Monday morning at 12:01. Actually, 12 o'clock, I guess.
That's the new season.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right, well, anyway, here's Suzanne Ciani.
Here she is.
On The Voice.
Of Long Island.
Of course, it wasn't queued up, but what the hell. electronic stuff from Suzanne Ciani. The album, which has not been released domestically, is called New Waves. And it's something called C Minor Melody.
When will that album be released domestically?
I don't know.
Did she say?
She's hoping soon. You might find some around hanging around as imports.
Uh-huh.
It was originally released, I guess, in May in Japan. And so she's hoping to get a few copies over here.
Well, that'd be nice, especially since she comes from New York.
That's true. That's very true.
I don't understand why so many artists have to get their records put out in faraway lands before anyone around here can listen to them.
Remember when she was on the show talking through harmonizers and stuff?
That was great.
Making herself sound like a gay man?
It was weird the way she did that, and then she would talk to us with two voices at once, one voice a little bit behind the other.
Right.
And this was all being done very live.
That's true. Well, anyway, she's coming out with a single.
A single?
Yeah, of talking just weird like that.
A pop single?
No, a popsicle.
Oh.
Something like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, this is the voice of
Long Island.
We should change the name of the show to something else.
Yeah, we change it every now and then.
Why don't we call it The Voice of Southern Connecticut?
No, I don't think so. We're here in Long Island, unless you want to move.
It's within the realm of possibilities.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, oh, Anthony White is here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's ready to do his program.
Yeah, he's coming up in about 4 minutes.
All right. We will yield, as usual.
We will stop at exactly 3 o'clock. Whatever is on the air, we'll turn it off and let him be responsible for dead air.
That sounds good to me.
Does it sound good to him?
I don't know. He seems to be speechless.
How to make him speechful?
He's walking out of the window. There he goes. I think we might have insulted him.
Oh, he's coming in my room now, isn't he? Looks like he's coming in.
Yep, there he is.
Hi, Tony. Yep. Yeah, he'll be up in a couple of minutes.
I hope he says more than that when he's on the air.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Right now in Stony Brook, it's 19 degrees Celsius.
And that's, what, 66 Fahrenheit?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm pretty good. I just memorized that. That's the only reason I got that right.
Really? Well, just memorize them all.
There he is. He just walked in again.
Boy,
still not saying anything. Strange character, this person. Well, you'll find out more about him at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, that's true.
He's gesturing to me that he lost his voice. He's pulling an Aunt Angela on us.
I sure hope he finds it.
He really can't talk. He's gesticulating wildly.
You know, we first played this card a couple of weeks ago.
We may have a problem here, Mike.
What's that?
Turn those roosters off. If Anthony can't talk, he'll have to just play music for 4 hours.
Well, he can do that, too. Or you can stick around and do all his talking for him.
I think I have a way to make Anthony get his voice back.
Throw him out the window?
No. See that telephone line? There's somebody who wants to talk to you on that telephone line. A female person.
Really?
His voice came back.
Where is she?
And he's running out the door.
Oh, I'd love to talk to a quick.
There he goes.
Well, it worked.
Anthony White's coming up next. We'll be back next week, I guess.
On WUSB.
Stony Brook for the voice
of Long Island.
Long Island.
I'm Mike Uhas. I'll be back Thursday night at 9.
I'm Eric Corley. I'll be back next week as usual.
Bye.
Hey. So long.
As it lay, at 8 a.m. out my head by 10:30. Out with mates and dates and friends. That's what I do at weekends. I can't talk and I can't walk, but I know where I'm going to go. I'm going to watch my money go at the Locarno. Go through the door. I know what my right arm is for. Buy a drink and pull a chair up to the edge of the dance floor. Dancers bouncing through the night, trying to stop or start a fight. I sit.
to leave this paradise. But the chip shop isn't closed, 'cause the pies are really nice. I'll eat it.